L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. We are together here for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, live right here on the grid. It's the Early Line. The final month, Donnie, of the NFL regular season kicks off tonight, week 15, underway in Las Vegas, between the Raiders and the Chargers. Maybe not the most marquee of NFL primetime matchups, but we will set the stage for the final month of this regular season. We'll look back on a wild night around the association. Tempers flare all across the NBA this week. We'll break it down here over these next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern, live right here on the grid.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun with this Thursday night football game because you can get some value on some ridiculously low numbers tonight, and sometimes they're just as fun to bet as games that are priced about 50 to 55 with the totals in the NFL. Don't you worry. We got some good stuff in store over the next 3 hours.
Even if it's not the prettiest football game on the gridiron, pretty doesn't necessarily mean no profits. We are going to find you those profits here on this Thursday on the Early Line. We start, though, in the NBA. A couple of nights ago, of course, in Phoenix, it was a highlighted game because Bradley Beal was returning for the Phoenix Suns. But it ended up in the third ejection of the year for the Warriors' Draymond Green. A spitting fist to the face of Yusuf Nurkic, his third ejection of the year, and yesterday the punishment handed down from the NBA's league office. Draymond Green has not just been suspended 3 games, 5 games a week. Draymond Green has been suspended indefinitely by the NBA. Let's welcome in quickly that Sports Grid Radio audience here. The opening hour of a Thursday live right here on the Early Line, Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. And Draymond Green, Donnie, suspended by the NBA indefinitely. He will have to undergo counseling before he can return to the floor for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, that's a cop-out here by the NBA, and we'll get into this a little bit later. I'm actually disappointed that the NBA used the indefinitely. They know exactly what you should be suspending Draymond Green for, but just like we watch Draymond Green every single time he plays, he gets his first tech out of the way early on and then dares the refs the entire rest of the way to throw him out, which they know they won't hear. This should have been handed down immediately and swiftly with no resolution coming from I want to appeal this with the collective bargaining agreement. The NBA took the cowardly way out, no surprise.
Well, that's where it stands right now. Indefinitely is the number for Draymond Green in terms of his suspension. Last night in Phoenix, the second leg of a back-to-back, Yusuf Nurkic was out there, as was Kevin Durant, as was Devin Booker, as was Bradley Beal. They all debuted together for the first time on the floor. The new super team, the new trio out in the Valley, it didn't go their way. Against Kevin Durant, one of his former teams, the Brooklyn Nets go on the road to Phoenix and win outright 116-112 over the Suns. The Nets win outright as a 4.5-point underdog.
I was surprised by that because we weren't sure if we were going to see the big three out there. And once we did, I was like, you know what? It is a back-to-back. They're going to be tired. They shouldn't be tired here. They stayed at home. That's a tough loss here for the Suns, who, again, lost that game by 4 points, but lost the fourth quarter by 6 points overall. You can't do that here. That should have been a win by the Nets here. And I know they're going to get it together sooner than later. I just expected a better effort last night out of the Suns.
The Nets, a great underdog team this season, 9-4-1 against the spread, five of those nine covers, now an outright victory. Kevin Durant didn't play in the first leg of the back-to-back against Golden State. He was out there, played 27 points. Devin Booker had 34, and yet Brooklyn found a way to win. All five starters for the Nets scoring in double figures. Speaking of double figures, speaking of 20-plus, 21 in a row, but in a bad way, for the Detroit Pistons. The losing skid extends to 21 straight games for Detroit. Last night on their own home floor against the Philadelphia 76ers in the Motor City, the Pistons lose by 18. And Donnie, on this 21-game skid, Detroit has only covered five times because Philadelphia wins and covers on the road, even as a 12-point favorite.
I wasn't sure how much the Philadelphia Sixers would win by, but I knew they would win. But the one thing, Ben, I told you yesterday that I was sure of was Joel Embiid was going to have a big night, and he did. 41-11, and they cruised against the Pistons. Now we're starting to enter into that territory where, you know, the last really bad team was? It was the Philadelphia 76ers. But they were in the tank/process era where they weren't even trying to win basketball games. The Pistons are actually trying and getting hammered on a night-to-night basis.
Yeah. And that's where it stands right now for Detroit. 21 straight losses for the Pistons. Philadelphia, as a favorite this year, 13-4 against the number. What a wild night it was in Milwaukee. In a rematch of the Eastern Conference semifinal of the NBA's in-season tournament from just a week ago on a Thursday night in Las Vegas, it was the Pacers and the Bucks, but this time in Milwaukee, inside the Pfizer Forum. Like the IST semifinal, this game featured an astronomical total of 258, and this one went over. Milwaukee winning by 14, 140-126. It was a career night. It was a franchise night for the man you are about to see on your screen, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had a franchise record in Milwaukee, 64 points. But he wanted the game ball to commemorate a historic night for him, his organization, his city. But he felt as though the Indiana Pacers had taken that game ball because their rookie Oscar Tshiebwe recorded his first points of his NBA career. Giannis storms into the locker room, comes back out, gets in the face of Tyrese Halliburton. A wild ending to a historic night, Donnie, inside the Pfizer Forum.
And I love the fact that the Pacers probably just handed him some rinky-dink ball that was just pulled out of the stands 3 minutes prior and said that was the game ball. But I got news for you, Giannis. You ever watch like other sports like football where the entire defensive side of the game gets a game ball? You paint the basketball, you put it on your wall. Nobody cares whether that was the actual game ball or not. You just take it. You won it. You had a great night there. Who cares what basketball you actually got here? Come on.
Earlier in the month of November, by the way, the Greek Freak scored 54 against Indiana. Now make that 64 for the franchise record. You got to secure that ball as soon as those final points go through. Again, a dust up in Milwaukee that was rather strange. Each and every day, Donnie, we get some new details on Shohei Ohtani's contract, the $680 million of the $700 million that was deferred. Yesterday, more news. If controlling owner of the Dodgers, Mark Walter, or president of baseball operations, Andrew Friedman, lose their roles with the team, Shohei Ohtani can opt out of the $700 million deal at any time.
This is so good here. For the Dodgers, I guess, are more and more my favorite team in Major League Baseball. Let's just say in two or three years, Ben Ohtani's not the player they thought he was. They move on from an ownership group who just trades out of that spot and also fire the president who runs the team itself, going, hey, Shohei Ohtani, we don't really like you all that much, but you know what? You got 7 or 8 more years before you get your real money. Why don't you opt out of this thing and go cash your ticket somewhere else? The Dodgers are playing 4D chess right now. Everybody else, they're playing checkers.
That they certainly are. Week 15 of this NFL season kicks off tonight in Las Vegas. It's the Chargers and the Raiders. LA will be without Keenan Allen. That's a bummer for Easton Stick, making his first start of the season. Roger Goodell, by the way, weighing in on the Kadarius Toney offensive offsides, said it was the correct call. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. Plenty of action around the association last night. A 9-game slate on a Wednesday, but outside of the actual basketball, tempers flaring this week in the NBA do have consequences. As we welcome you back to the Early Line on this Thursday, it's how we started off the show. Draymond Green suspended indefinitely by the NBA for the altercation that happened early on a few nights ago on a Tuesday night in Phoenix between the Suns and the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green spinning around, slapping, punching, whatever it was, as blatant of a maneuver as you will see, hitting Yusuf Nurkic. He was ejected for the third time this year, a hefty repeat offender, not just in 2023-24, but throughout the duration of his NBA career in Golden State, resulting in an indefinite suspension from the NBA league office yesterday.
And let's start here, Ben, because Draymond Green, and I think you brought this up perfectly, this isn't the first time we've been down this block. It seems like it's every year, but now it's getting to be like every other week we get down this block.
Yeah.
As a society, forget about just NBA players, as a society, us human beings here, we're very remorseful here, and we understand that people are going to make mistakes here. But the fact of the matter is, if you make more than one mistake and the same mistake keeps happening, we're not so remorseful anymore at this point, because it's okay. Hey, well, Draymond only knocked out his tail, but it's his own teammate, so as long as his team is fine with it, we're cool with that. And the NBA takes that video footage and goes, well, that's not our problem, that's a team practice facility, it's not a game, we can't comment on that. But let's imagine this here. Forget about all the previous misgivings that Draymond Green had, and let's just go to this year here. Chokes out, yeah, Rudy Gobert. Let's just say again, Ben, we had sideline clearing brawl in that basketball game. Draymond might not be playing for the rest of the year, but we're lucky it didn't, because cooler heads prevailed outside of Draymond Green. Now, Draymond Green comes into a basketball game and throws a flailing knockout punch to another player, Ben. Let's just say we had, again, bench-clearing brawls, which would have been warranted at that spot. At least cooler heads prevailed. So I look at this as the NBA by going, this is grandstanding at this point, right? Let's just suspend them indefinitely. And we know as a society, this is a Twitter, X, Facebook, Instagram. In 3 days, we'll forget Draymond Green even did this, and we'll miraculously bring him back after 5 or 7 games. I'm like, okay, he served his time and he got some help here. I was hoping the NBA came down swiftly and firmly right away with the decision that says this is unacceptable. This can't be happening. Because, Ben, let's put it in, again, human terms here. You go play pickup basketball in New York City. You get crushed with a windmill fist to the face that was absolutely intentional. You're not saying, hey, you can't come back to this park for a couple days and cool off. No, you're going down to the 43rd precinct and you are getting booked for absolute assault at that point here. That's what we're looking at here. This isn't just, hey, happenstance, no big deal. That was assault on the court, and he continues to do it.
Yeah. It's absolutely the case. When you think about the chokehold of Rudy Gobert back earlier this year, he wasn't even involved in the dust-up, but he goes in to protect his players and just has an opportunity to grab Gobert, of which he does. That was blatant. The kick to Steven Adams' nether region, that was blatant. 2 nights ago in Phoenix against Yusuf Nurkic, that was blatant. Draymond Green has played in 930 games in his 12-year NBA career, all with the Golden State Warriors. He has now been ejected 19 times. That is the most of any active NBA player by a good margin. That is the second most in NBA history, only behind Rasheed Wallace, who was ejected 27 times in his NBA career. So this is not something new, and they've become a little bit more frequent here over the last few NBA seasons for Draymond. And there are clear implications of what Draymond Green has now done and what he has cost his Golden State franchise. Suspended indefinitely, will have to undergo counseling before he is approved to return by the NBA's league office and can be back on the floor for the Dubs. Donnie, you bet Golden State's team win total to the under in the preseason. What was that number?
It was the mid-40s, Ben. I want to say like 46 and a half, something like that, I believe.
I believe it was 46 and a half. That updated win total is now off by 5, 41 and a half.
Yeah.
The Golden State Warriors are three games below 500 this season. The Dubs are 10-13. If the season were to end today, of course it doesn't. We're just past the quarter pole of the 2023-24 campaign. Golden State would be on the outside even of the play-in tournament. They sit in 11th out of 15 Western Conference clubs. After the Draymond Green indefinite suspension ruling came down yesterday, Golden State was still minus 162 to see the Western Conference playoffs. Now it's plus 104. Donnie, we looked at the odds yesterday. We did a reset after the end of the in-season tournament, as the regular season is our focus. Christmas Day in the association approaches in just over a week. And despite a 10-13 record for Golden State and Draymond Green being ejected for the third time already this season, Golden State always, because of their pedigree and the championships they have won, is going to garner respect in the odds market. They were 11-1 to win the Western Conference crown, tied for the fourth best price on the FanDuel Sportsbook. That price has doubled based on this indefinite suspension ruling. Golden State now, Donnie, plus 2,200 to win the Western Conference. They have moved well back in the odds market.
Yeah, and also, we're taking a look at an older basketball team here, right? So sometimes it's hard to quit when you say we have future Hall of Famers that are going to be playing the rest of the way. Chris Paul is probably going to play the rest of the season. Same thing with Steph. So when you're looking at Draymond Green, it's a big loss because he's key to the nucleus here. He sort of runs the show, right? I'm the defensive enforcer. I'm the guy that's going to get us excited. If things aren't going our direction, I'll pull everybody in, scream at him, and get him right back on the same page here. That's going to be gone here. But I sort of thought coming into this season, look, sooner or later, Father Time is going to catch up with a basketball team. And I thought this was the season it would happen. Now, did we think that Draymond might get suspended for 25 games in a single season? And who knows if Steph Curry's ankles might give out or injuries might happen? They always do in the NBA. And Klay Thompson wasn't the player he was just 3 or 4 years ago. I thought that was going to be the case. But this is unraveling a lot faster than normal. This is one of those bets, Ben, where you take the under to start the season, and you know it's going to be a pressure cooker all the way through, coming down to probably the last game. I didn't think roughly the quarter pole of the season they would be under 500. Now I thought, like, hey, you know, a couple games over, they stumble, maybe an injury happens. Now you're looking at an injury happening while they're under 500. Good night. They won't come anywhere near that team total.
In the story earlier this week for the Suns and Dubs game in Phoenix was the hopeful debut of all three of the new superstars that play for the Suns franchise together: Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and the return of Bradley Beal. KD didn't play in that game. Beal did return, and it's by far not even the biggest headline of that game. At least last night in Phoenix, we saw the debut of the new super team era for the Suns. But again, it's not the overall storyline. The Nets win outright 116-112, spoiling that debut of the trio in Phoenix for Beal, Durant, and Booker. The Nets winning outright as a 4.5-point underdog. They're 9-4-1 against the spread this year as a dog is Brooklyn, one of the best cover percentages as an underdog in the NBA, and that was their fifth outright win this year as an underdog as well.
Yeah, it drops Phoenix to 6-7 at home, but also take a look at Brooklyn. How do you surmise yourself as a good basketball team? Hang with other teams on the road. They improved to 5-5 on the road, which is key, 13-10 overall. I was impressed. Kevin Durant comes back from that, I think it was an ankle injury, 27 points. Yeah. Devin Booker with 34, but when you have the big three, you need a big three out here. Bradley Beal only 14 points. Now, he did shoot 6 of 9 from the floor and did play 34 minutes, so maybe that impact, you're still trying to work your way around two alphas and who gets the basketball here. They'll get it right. I was just surprised last night. Even on a back-to-back, I thought the Phoenix Suns would be able to win and win by margin, and they didn't even win the game.
Yeah, it's interesting. Booker went over his points prop. He had 34, another game high for the second consecutive night for Phoenix. KD returns. He goes over his points prop with 27. Bradley Beal, you can see the number there, just 15.5. Barely stayed under. Did play 34 minutes, though, as he has dealt with that back injury issue all year long. Yusuf Nurkic, after taking the punch from Draymond Green, 15 points, 22 boards last night for Phoenix. It's just that every starter for Brooklyn scored 14 points. Points or more. We'll have more around the association. We'll do a little crossover game with the National Football League as well, as we get you set for the final month of this regular season in the NFL. Come back and join us on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week 15 of the NFL regular season starts tonight. We're into the final month of this NFL regular season. 18 weeks, 14 in the books. Week 15 begins on a Thursday in Las Vegas. So in the final month of this NFL season, at the quarter pole of the NBA season, we play a game of what's more likely, comparing some similar scenarios, albeit in two different professional leagues. But before we get to that, we talk about history. Last night in the NBA, the Detroit Pistons have now lost 21 consecutive games. History in a bad way in the Motor City for Detroit. Philadelphia goes on the road 129-111. The Sixers winning by 18, covering as a 12-point road favorite, handing Detroit its 21st consecutive loss. And Donnie, the Pistons have only covered five times in that span. So not just losing outright, not really keeping games competitive by any means.
No, they're not. 2-22, which means 1-12 at home. They're already eliminated from playoff race at this point, right? I mean, again, they win the next 40 games in a row. Yeah, sure, okay. But if we look at their team as a whole, you're just playing for the ping pong balls now at the end of the season. But that's, again, we didn't sign up for this. If you're a Pistons fan, if you're a Pistons ownership group, you've had high draft picks here. Usually when you have high draft picks for a couple of years, like, okay, let's turn the corner. We expect to make a playoff run now. That's when you go out and sign a head coach to a massive contract to be brought in, not to oversee a tank, but to take your team to the next level and see what you can get out of him. Monty Williams isn't getting anything out of him, but I do got to give him credit. Like, for him to sit up at a post-game press conference with the team, it's 2-22, and say the vibes are basically really good in the room and that's all he cares about right now. I mean, give that man an Oscar at this point. He's probably pulling his hair out at every turn to try to say, like, look, this team is horrendous. I know I'm a quality coach, but I'm not getting anything out of these guys, but at least they can joke around after the game and I see him show up to practice the next day. I don't know where the Pistons go from here, because it's not about even being embarrassing anymore. It's okay, maybe we get the number one overall pick, but again, I always preface this by saying this wasn't supposed to be a throwaway season here for the Pistons. No. You look and say, well, Donnie, what about the San Antonio Spurs? That's a throwaway season. We got the number one overall pick. Let's see how he fits in. If we're bad again, we'll stack more draft picks on top of that, because it worked out in the past. Hey, Tim Duncan, number one overall. Years prior before that, you have David Robinson, number one overall. Now we have the nucleus to win. You're waiting for that. That's not the Pistons. That wasn't their motive this year by saying, let's think again here. That's what's disappointing. And they're terrible. They're not even tanking. They're just terrible, Ben.
Yeah. And that's where it is right now. They paid Monty Williams that huge contract. They lost their first game of the year. They won their next two. And again, I will say it, I will put my hand up. I thought at that point, 2-1 start, a little bit of promise for the Pistons. Maybe Monty Williams was going to lead this team to an Eastern Conference play-in tournament spot. They have no chance. Again, they're not fully eliminated at this moment, but they have no chance. And they've drafted in the top five each of the past 3 years. Cade Cunningham, of course, a few years ago. Last year, it was Jaden Ivey. This past summer, it was Ausar Thompson. Nobody's putting up any numbers. There is a young, talented core, or at least a young core there, that Monty Williams was supposed to develop. That has not been the case. 21 consecutive losses for Detroit. Oh, by the way, Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs lost their 18th straight game last night, and LeBron James did not play for the Lakers. The Spurs are 3-20. The young talent in the NBA that was going to be a storyline has kind of taken a back seat so far in the early going of this NBA season. On the other side, the reigning NBA MVP continues to stack up numbers. 41 points, 11 boards, 5 dimes, a perfect 12 of 12 from the charity stripe last night for Joel Embiid. He is keeping pace with what he did last year. He leads the NBA in scoring at nearly 34 points per game. And Donnie, entering this season, the question for Philadelphia was, could they finally get past the two teams in front of them, the Celtics and the Bucks, in the Eastern Conference odds? Those two teams had short prices to win the Eastern Conference championship, and then everybody else had a quadruple digit number. Well, Philadelphia has seen that price get slashed by nearly half. It was 11 or 12 to 1 before the year got underway. Now 6 to 1, third best number in the Eastern Conference. You could make an argument, although how dare we compare the sports city of Philadelphia to the sports city of Dallas, that the 76ers are a lot like the Cowboys here in the last 20 plus years in the postseason. Always a great regular season, always seen as a contender, never able to reach that ultimate level of success of playing in a conference championship series or winning that conference title. Not since the early 2000s has Philadelphia even reached an Eastern Conference Finals. And of course, not since 1995 and its last Super Bowl has Dallas reached the NFC Championship game. So here in 2023 or 2023-24, Donnie, what is more likely? The Dallas Cowboys win the NFC or the Philadelphia 76ers win the East?
It's a great question overall, but the simple answer is it's the Dallas Cowboys more likely to win the NFC at a plus 420 price. And you say, you know what, Donnie? You've been around long enough to watch the Dallas Cowboys do absolutely nothing since the mid-1990s. At least the 76ers in 2001 had a run to the NBA Finals with Allen Iverson. So on that alone, you'd say, okay, they should be able to do that. But hear me out also. The Dallas Cowboys, yeah, more the Philadelphia 76ers, aren't the favorites to win the NFC, which makes it fun. The Sixers, as we know, love to win easy first-round opponents, then get dropped in the second round as soon as something competent comes their way. Same thing with the Dallas Cowboys. You saw last year, they went on the road and beat a team in the playoffs and then lost in the next divisional round game, which they continue to have done since, what, 1995 here. But hear me out on this. The Philadelphia 76ers, let's just say, in the Eastern Conference Finals, they can play a great game. Which, you know what that means, Ben? They're up 1-0 in that series. It's a seven-game series. You better be great for four more games. The Dallas Cowboys, vice versa, can be great for one game in the NFC, you know, championship game and win that, because they don't have to go seven games against the Philadelphia Eagles and or the San Francisco 49ers. Now, if we were talking about the best of seven gear, then you might give another nod to the Sixers. Go, okay, I think the Sixers are better, more equipped. They have an MVP player. They can win it here. But we're only talking about one football game. Injuries, turnovers, and bad play all happens. The Dallas Cowboys can put it together for one game and win the divisional round and the NFC championship game. That's much easier than the Philadelphia 76ers going in a seven-game tussle against the Celtics and then probably the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, when you look at where Philadelphia is in the East, 6-1 is the price on the 76ers. Again, their price in the preseason, 11-1, 12-1. There was some uncertainty what this Philly crew would do with the uncertainty in the offseason around James Harden and Nick Nurse coming in as their new head coach. I think they have proven to this point they are going to be their lockstep all regular season long alongside the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks, but the C's still plus 150. To win the East, the Bucks right behind at plus 170. There's a gap there. There's a gap between Dallas at plus 420 and the San Francisco 49ers at plus 110 in the NFC, but I think the path for the Cowboys is better. I think that's more likely, although I wouldn't bet either of the two until these two eyes see them at least play in a conference championship game or series, let alone win said conference championship game or series. Next up, playoff contenders. Of course, after Draymond Green was suspended indefinitely yesterday by the NBA, the Warriors saw their playoff price at minus 162 go all the way to plus money at plus 104. We expect Golden State, at bare minimum, to be a playoff team each and every year in the Western Conference. We expect the same out of the Buffalo Bills in the AFC. Buffalo has some ground to make up. They're one of the six teams in the AFC at 7-6. Golden State at this point, Donnie, three games below 500, 10-13. They'd be on the outside looking in even at the Western Conference play-in tournament at this moment. So what is more likely? The Buffalo Bills make the AFC playoffs. The Golden State Warriors make the Western Conference playoffs.
And when you see that graphic there, you know, the minus 106, the plus 104, so a little bit in the favor of the Buffalo Bills. But if I'm going to stick to my mantra over the past couple weeks about the Buffalo Bills, I've been saying this. They needed to get a split between the Kansas City Chiefs game and the Dallas Cowboys game. Well, they played the Kansas City Chiefs, and they got a victory here. Now you're taking a look at another tough game, but it's at home going up against the Dallas Cowboys. There's a really good chance they win that football game. So from that alone, I'm looking towards the Buffalo Bills at making the playoffs as a better chance than what we're saying on the opposite side of that with the Golden State Warriors. And also, again, it's when the question's asked, right? Ask me a week and a half ago. Well, okay, Golden State's rounding into form. Everybody's healthy. Nobody's suspended.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the Buffalo Bills, who actually haven't played the Kansas City Chiefs yet and still had to go in and beat them. So for myself, it's a little bit easier for me to predict. And also that huge logjam in the AFC is going to help them out. But also, if you're looking from the other perspective, hey, look, the Buffalo Bills can lose this weekend. Other teams can play better than them. And also the Golden State Warriors have another 50 games to get things together here. And also 10 right. spots to make it into the playoffs as opposed to 8 spots to make it into the playoffs. So there's much more opportunity for the Golden State Warriors to get in. But at this time, I'm going to go Buffalo Bills. Since they already beat the Chiefs and I needed them to go 1-1, I'm going to take them again this weekend to beat the Dallas Cowboys. Therefore, they're going to make the playoffs. That's my answer.
The Bills now just a 1.5-point favorite at home in Western New York on Sunday afternoon against Dallas. It was 2.5 earlier this week. Completely agree with everything that you said right there, Donnie, and the rationale behind it. I think Buffalo makes the postseason. I also think Golden State will be a playoff team come year's end in the Western Conference. I think the Bills are going to get there, but the path is much easier for Golden State. Yes, right now, they're a game out of the Western Conference play-in tournament, but if they're one of the top 10 teams in the West in a one-game scenario or two games needed potentially to make the playoffs and be one of those final 8 teams, I'll take the Dubs at this moment. Buffalo, with everybody around them, 5 other teams at 7-6, the path not as crystal clear, but I think both are going to make the playoffs. We're going to keep doing this because we're having fun as week 15 in the NFL regular season starts. Up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week 15 of the NFL regular season begins tonight. We're past the quarter pole of the NBA season in 2023. We continue What's More Likely live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. So, DRS, we have seen the Detroit Pistons now lose 21 consecutive games. A young core that maybe was supposed to do something this season. Nope. They are 2-22. DRS, we also see the Carolina Panthers with just one win on this NFL campaign. They are 1-12 at the conclusion of 14 weeks. Frank Reich was fired earlier in the middle of this NFL regular season after only 11 games with the number one overall pick and some pieces around him. Carolina's win total entering the year was 7.5, and the over had the juice. They have fallen very short of expectation. So what's more likely? The Detroit Pistons go winless in the month of December. It's Thursday, December 14th, or the Carolina Panthers lose out the rest of the regular season.
You're just playing, you know, the wheel, which who's going to give you the better odds. One team's going to play 4 games. One team's probably going to play 10 or 11 games here. Sooner than later, you are going to win one of those games. Now, granted, what is their record? 2-22. So if you say, okay, in the next 10 games, what's the odds? Oh, look, they've already done it. They'll probably win one out of the next 10 games. So I'll go that route. For the Carolina Panthers, you know, this is an interesting part too, because it's a great question to ask. Most teams in the NFL that are in a position like the Carolina Panthers don't want to win another football game, Ben. But as we know, they don't have their number one overall pick. That's going to go to the Bears. So there's no really incentive to say, let's lose out. Maybe you want to pick up a win to get some decent vibes heading into the offseason. Like, you're playing good football down the stretch, you were competitive, and you got a victory. If you look at the games for Carolina, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Green Bay Packers, what do they all have in common? They're all fighting for the playoffs when you are not here. So for my money, it's more likely, just by the amount of games you're going to play, both teams are bad, but Carolina probably going to lose out. The Detroit Pistons probably going to find some luck on a back-to-back somewhere and play a decent ball game and come away with a victory for me.
The Pistons have 8 more games in the month of December, including tomorrow against the very team they just lost to, the Philadelphia 76ers, by 18 points. So 8 more games for Detroit in this month. Are they going to get to 29 consecutive losses? I don't think so. But what's more likely? It's the Pistons. Why? Because the Panthers are winning outright on Sunday at home against the Atlanta Falcons for win number 2 of the year. The Falcons Falcons as a favorite, 2-7 against the spread. I don't need to bring up the against the spread record for the Carolina Panthers. Just know they have one win and only two covers. But I got a weird feeling about this Sunday in Charlotte. The Panthers win outright as a 3-point home underdog against Atlanta.
Yeah, makes some sense here because, again, any given Sunday, you have a team at home, and I think maybe some rainy conditions coming in for a dome team going outdoors. And what thing do we know about the Atlanta Falcons? Not exactly a high-octane offense here. It'll probably be played close to the vest, which is why that spread is telling you 3, 3.5. So I could see it happening here. I don't know if it's going to. And by the way, rooting on the New Orleans Saints, I would love this to happen this weekend, but we'll see.
Me as well. That's part of my rooting interest as well. Atlanta this year, 2-4 away from home. I'm going to look this up right now because I know last year under Arthur Smith, they were terrible on the road as well. As an away team, since Arthur Smith became the head coach in Atlanta, the Falcons are straight up 3-10. It's one of the worst road records in all of the National Football League in the last two seasons. That's going to continue on Sunday. All right, here's our final what's more likely. I think it's a fun one. The Detroit Lions, America's team the last few years, biting kneecaps under the fighting Dan Campbells. Well, the Lions, despite dropping two of their last four games and have not looked all that great in the last month, still a hefty odds-on favorite with a two-game cushion to win the NFC North. It would be their first divisional crown in the NFL in the last three decades. On top of that, Detroit hasn't won a playoff game in the National Football League since 1991. The Oklahoma City Thunder have been on the large rebuild, ever since Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook no longer played in OKC. Chris Paul did have a stop there. There was some success for this Thunder team, but now a young Fung Kor, that's one of Donnie and my favorites in all of the NBA. So Donnie, what is more likely? The Detroit Lions win a playoff game or the Oklahoma City Thunder win a playoff series?
I'm taking the Detroit Lions here. Number one, they're going to be at home. They're a very, very good home team in the dome here. And also, number two, it's a team that you're going to match up against. Will it be the Minnesota Vikings, a team like the Green Bay Packers, the Rams, the Seahawks? I think they're better than all of those teams, and they'll be at home, and they'll be favored. And it's one game, and I think they can handle their business. So now you say, it's like, hold on now. You know, the OKC, if it finished today, would be the number two overall seed. Here's the problem. I just told you who the Lions were going to match up with and told you significantly they're going to be a better team. You know what happens, Ben, in the NBA a lot. You'll get a major injury now in the next, you know, month or two where a superstar and or more superstars sit out the rest of the way only to be fully healthy for the playoffs. You say, boy, OKC in that two seed looking really good. Then here come the Clippers. Here come the Phoenix Suns. A team of that ilk steps in and goes, or the Los Angeles Lakers, used to say, who may be rested down the stretch with LeBron James and or Anthony Davis. Yeah. Now, it's a twofold argument, too, because if Oklahoma City is the number two seed overall, they didn't coast to the number two seed spot. They won probably 55 games and wound up there, so they would be really good. But I'm just trying to look at that matchup because it's supposed to be you're a two seed and you get a weakling that you play. But in the NBA, we've seen that so many times. That's not the case. If you're an 8 or 7 seed, you can make a run here. I'm just playing it out as I know Detroit is going to get a team that they can handle at home in one game. I think Oklahoma City will get a team that they can handle in round number one. That's the only difference.
The Vikings right now are 7-6. They would be that sixth seed in the NFC postseason to play their divisional foe in that wild card round, the Detroit Lions. Whoever takes the final two NFC wild card spots, with the Vikings at 7-6 and then six other teams at 6-7 in the NFC, Detroit's going to be a pretty hefty home favorite, at least laying 3.5, 4, 4.5. So I agree. It would be Detroit in this game of what is more likely. And Donnie, to your point about how the NBA postseason plays out, who was the 7th seed last year? The Los Angeles Lakers. They beat the number 2 seed, the Memphis Grizzlies, in that opening round as the Lakers extended all the way into the Western Conference Finals. If you were to look at the standings, and again, a lot is going to change. We're very early on. It's the middle of December of an NBA season. But who are two of the four teams that would be in the Western Conference play-in tournament right now? Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and the LA Clippers in that 8th spot. The 10th spot at the moment is the Phoenix Suns with Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. There is a chance that one of those two teams and maybe a few others, if they stumble down the stretch, could be a Western Conference play-in tournament team and then take that seventh seed to take on the two seed, the Oklahoma City Thunder, if that's how the postseason shakes out. So let's get ready for the final month of this NFL regular season. That begins tonight. It's week number 15, getting kicked off in Las Vegas. It's the Raiders and the Chargers, a matchup of two teams, three games below 500, both at 5-8. So there's that component of it all. And it's not quite the quarterback matchup we expected a few weeks ago, or certainly not earlier this season. We have said multiple times, Justin Herbert now on the shelf for the remainder of 2023, surgery on the fractured right index finger on his throwing hand. Jimmy Garoppolo injured. He's not playing any longer. Aiden O'Connell is the quarterback for Las Vegas. The Raiders, a 3.5-point home favorite. The over-under is at 34.5. Easton Stick will make the start for LA, the quarterback out of North Dakota State, who has been in the NFL since 2018, 2019. He's seen his fair share in Los Angeles, but this, I think, is the first start of his career. If not the first start, one of a very few amount of starts in the National Football League. So, Donnie, it's not the most intriguing marquee matchup that you could hope to kick off the final month of the 2023 NFL regular season. Where do you find the edges tonight in Las Vegas?
Yeah, you're trying to find some of those options because, again, we always like to say this. It's always more exciting if it's the Dolphins and the Eagles on Thursday Night Football. You're like, man, that could be a fun one to watch this play out. And then you sort of get upset early in the week when you see it's going to be the Chargers and the Raiders. And then you figure not everything is based exactly the same each one. Hey, quarterbacks at 275.5, top running backs at 81.5, top wideouts at 92.5. That's not the case tonight. You are getting value across the board. You just have to find it. Now, the one thing I want to start here with before we get into the prop bets, we've got plenty of time for that. Look at the line in this game. It's 3.5. What are most people saying? Oh my God, the Raiders are going to absolutely kill the Chargers. Based on what? There's 0 points last week against the Minnesota Vikings? Like, I think we jumped the shark a little bit there. And also, Easton Stick, you're right about this. Here's the differentiating matter here. He's been in the league a couple years. He's been in the locker room. He's been in the quarterback room. He's been running NFL offenses. He just hasn't had his chance on the big stage in a regular season game. He's performed quite well in the preseason games that he's got into. And also look last week, case in point, he comes in the second quarter here. They still let him throw Ben about 25 times in that football game for around 180 yards. And keep in mind, this wasn't his playbook. This game wasn't catered to what he wants to do. Now you have a couple of days to get in that room as you're the starter, taking those starter reps, but not also, Ben, come in cold this week as if the quarterback got injured on a Tuesday practice. You got game experience last week. Now your focus is on being a starter. And quite frankly, that Raiders defense isn't that good. So me looking at this game, it's crazy. And again, there's no real edges here, Ben, right? But I'm saying here is I'm not jumping on the Raiders as this is going to be some easy win based on we couldn't even score last week here. Stick will be okay at quarterback, and that should be enough to keep him in the ballgame. Why also? Josh Jacobs doesn't look like he's going tonight for the Raiders. So good luck leaning on Aiden O'Connell as the guy to lead you to victory. I'm not doing that.
Listen, there's a lot of injury concern in this game. We shared at the start of the show, Keenan Allen is not going to play tonight for LA. Davante Adams missed practice yesterday for Las Vegas, dealing with an illness, and it looks doubtful that Josh Jacobs plays in this football game. A lot of the trends we're going to use are sample sizes. Of course, Aiden O'Connell as the starting quarterback for Las Vegas. This will be his sixth start of the year tonight. There's a larger sample size there. The Raiders as a favorite this season, both 3-2 straight up and against the number. When they win as the favorite, at least so far, they have covered, but they have never laid more than a field goal. The hook has been added on. They're a 3.5-point favorite at home tonight. The Chargers are the worst underdog team in the NFL. Two teams, Donnie, at this stage of the season have not covered at least once as an underdog. The Chargers and the Cowboys. Dallas has been a dog two times. The Chargers, this will be game number 5 as the underdog tonight. 0-4 against the spread, not covering by an average margin of nearly 5 points per game. This will be Easton Stick's first NFL career start. He's only appeared in 2 regular season games, once for just a little bit of time back in 2020, and then last week, of course, in the majority of the game against Denver, 13 of 24 for 179 yards. The total has worked its way up. It was 33.5 earlier this week. Now it's 34 and a hook. So it's been up by a point. Six of the last seven NFL primetime games have been over, including, Donnie, last week with the minimal total that we saw, 30.5 between the Steelers and the Patriots. That was the smallest total in the NFL in nearly three decades.
Yeah, and we might get a little bit of offense, and that's all you need to cover a total in the low 30s. But take a look at Jake Browning, what we saw here for Cincinnati. And I'm not saying that the offense is the same with what it's going to be tonight for the Chargers, because the weapons aren't nearly as good as what we saw in Cincinnati. But the simple fact of the matter is, a guy that's been around the league for a while, came into a football game late, then started the next couple weeks, he was okay. He's okay.
There will be plenty more previews for Thursday Night Football coming your way later in the show. We'll talk about the NFL continuously next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid, I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. The final month of the NFL regular season kicks off tonight in Las Vegas, but we're always looking at the future in the National Football League and what is to become of the tush push, the brotherly shove, as we know it, because Philadelphia does it better than anybody, also does it far more frequently than anybody around the NFL. League meetings this week here in December for the NFL, and NFL executive Troy Vincent was speaking about a variety of maybe potential rule changes coming the way to the National Football League in the offseason for the 2024 campaign. When he was asked about the tush push, he pretty much had to say that the idea that Philly does it better than anybody isn't exactly true, because Philly also does it so much more than everybody else in the NFL, Donnie. So the sample size and a competitive imbalance is not really a realistic thing. So they don't want to punish Philly for doing something well that helps them offensively to gain an advantage, as you could only hope, in the NFL. So it seems, at least reading the tea leaves there with NFL executive Troy Vincent, the tush push isn't going anywhere.
No, and also, let's take a look at this. The NFL over the past, 15 to 20 years, every rule change that comes in is never to penalize the offense. It's always the defense. This would penalize the offense. And also, if you are an NFL executive and you want to increase scoring, teams going for it more on fourth down is a good thing. Analytics is a sensational thing, and also so is the tush push. I would be the first one to say, Ben, if you had multiple injuries of torn ACLs and Jalen Hurts got three concussions from it, yes, take it out of the game. It's dangerous. I've never seen a single player get injured on a quarterback sneak here. So what's the big deal?
There are some teams that have tried it that have not seen the results that Philadelphia does, but not everybody has a quarterback that squats about 650 pounds, which is a huge driving force, both literally and figuratively, for why Philadelphia has so much success in running that play. Let the tush push live. I think it will into 2024. Hour number two of the early line continues when it starts in less than a minute.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.